time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello, and welcome to the second funniest podcast. This is episode 402. I am your host, Justin Wersch, and with me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, TheKevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Here in season four, it's time I come up with an intro for you.
Really?
Don't you think?
No.
Don't you want some title?
We have rules. See, I am the host of the show.
You make it all of...
You are the personality of the show.
No, you are the personality.
No. No, I like it not being about me. I like it not... If I make it about me, then I feel like in my head it goes off, and I'm like, I'm not making it about you, Justin.
Huh, interesting.
Because if we start talking about me too much, then for whatever reason, I start getting depressed and talking about therapy and things like that.
I miss that show.
Really?
Was back, the good old JK show.
You know, honestly, to have a little moment about me.
Yeah.
If it's at all possible.
Stop making it about me. I'm making it about you.
But if we want to talk about me.
Do I ever?
I was actually, like, kind of, I was walking down the stairs today.
And these are my favorite stories.
These are the minutiae.
This will last us about 20 minutes.
Heads up,
story.
Guys. I got to clean the cobwebs.
How often do you clean? Why did you set that alarm for Tuesday nights? I'll never know.
I don't know.
We've been doing the podcast on Tuesday for years, and that stupid alarm has been coming up for so long.
You know what's even funnier is that I just now realized that the alarm goes off to give me a heads up to clean them at 11 p.m., which is why I never clean them, because I'm like, why am I supposed to clean them at the end of the day?
At 11 p.m., maybe there's less foot traffic, more chance of getting spiders.
The spiders come out at night. I mean, if we're going to...
Oh, man.
We're going to clean...
If this is your first time with us, I don't know why you've chosen this episode. But Justin has for years had an alarm that comes up on his computer that says clean the cobwebs in the apartment complex that he manages. And it always comes up while we're recording.
I'm going to edit that now.
To the point that fans have begun to ask, why are you always talking about the cobwebs? This is easily the fourth conversation we've had about those damn cobwebs.
Look at the way this is set up. Every month on the first Tuesday is when it's set to repeat. And then it's 10 hours after. So it is set at 11 a.m., but the alarm doesn't go off until 10 hours later.
Sense. It's all making
so
sense.
So let's make it 10 days after. Oh, gosh, that's hilarious. I was going down the stairs today, and I was actually thinking, you know what's funny is that I used to have like this huge concern. Why would it do that? Why do you hate me? I used to always like be kind of down and like bummed out a lot, like maybe but I feel like in the last maybe year, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know, 18 months, I don't know, yeah, probably a year that I feel like I've kind of found my old self, if you would, my old self-confident self. I feel good. I
like
care.
The new you, yeah.
I don't care about, you know, what happens. Well, it's funny because I feel like it's an old new me, like it's the new old me or what, I don't know.
This is hurting.
Stuff is happening.
I'm on board.
Are we still doing that year in prediction bit?
No, that was last week.
Oh, God, that
made
me vomit.
We're back in present tense.
Oh. So what are we going to talk about?
You're talking about stuff.
What's on the docket? Talking about me? We want to talk about me?
Yeah.
I'm excited about my life. I feel like it's going in a good place.
I have some music for you if you just
want. Yeah, if you
have me. You just need to turn me up.
Oh, I need to turn you up. Oh, that's right, because you kept last... you're up. You need to turn you up. Oh, smart aleck.
All right.
Smarty. Oh, you're muted. Oh, my bad. That is really low.
Nah, it's nice. You like it.
Okay.
It's a little background talk while you talk about yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Why would you make a song sound like, hey, let's just make noises?
Did you see There Will Be Blood? Let me see if I can pull that up.
Pull the soundtrack up for that?
Oh, man, that makes me laugh so hard. It's like, who was the guy? It was a famous rock star that did the soundtrack to There Will Be Blood.
Bono.
Something like that.
Mick Jagger.
And when I play this for you, it's clear.
Stone Temple Pilots.
That it's somebody like that. They
Britney
brought him in.
Spears.
And they said, okay, we'd like to hear a little bit of that theme song. He's like.
Dave Grohl.
Oh, now? Oh, okay. They're like, oh, that's beautiful. I can't wait to put that in the song.
Kesha. That's who that is. That's Kesha.
You're talking. How drunk are you still?
I'm not. I'm good now. I have coffee in me. I've hydrated a little bit. I don't. Here's the thing. It's weird because I know we have a lot of kids that listen, but it's in my being to not be honest, even if you are younger than me. Like I don't. I'm not your role model, man. I'm not your. But I'm just saying, like, I want to tell this story because this is what I do on the show is I talk about me.
Yep.
And we made that clear in the first 5 minutes that I don't like it. But if this is what the people want, Kevin, give it to them. But I said, I decided that I was like, oh, we were planning on having mimosas because we're dumb for New Year's Eve. And I realized I forgot about it. And I had the bottle of champagne in the fridge. And this is a bottle of champagne I'd been given as a gift like years ago. So I go and I open it up and I'm like, oh, I'll make a mimosa. And then I notice as I open it that it says sparkling red wine. I pour. I'm like, well, I'll try it before I add orange juice. And it was delicious. And I killed the bottle.
How big a bottle?
It's a full regular. I don't know. I don't know enough about any of that stuff. Oh, my gosh. That's all over the place. I don't know that the podcast comes out in 5.1, but we're hearing it.
It's pretty great.
In 5.1. It sounds behind me. Like I'm in the movie now. I'm in the movie. There Will Be Blood. And all of the music is happening behind me. Yeah, this is obnoxious. He's just walking around carrying a child.
This is not a real music video, but go on.
So anyway, I don't know. I don't know what I was talking about. I can't remember.
You want to talk about yourself. You're walking down the stairs.
I said it already.
What did you say?
I said that I was happy. I was thinking about
it.
You know, I go,
oh, that's
it? I'm in a good headspace now. Like, I like where I am.
Do you have more to say than that about
it? No, I don't.
Why are you in a good headspace?
I think, honestly, I don't know if anybody wants to hear this, but to honestly look at it is that I have two kids, and it kind of makes you think about the idea of, I don't know if anybody who listens, I think on some level your parents' experiences that you want their life to be better, so I don't want my kids to grow up with the role model of their father being this guy who's super neurotic about what everybody's thinking and all that time, and then it's funny that once I hit that headspace and you just kind of realize, like my dad actually said, it's interesting to my dad, I'm 32 years old, he dropped some mad knowledge on me the other day where he said, he was talking about his own life, and he goes, I try not to waste time doubting myself, and I was like, whoa, that's real. Like that's. I mean, for anything you could say about my dad being goofy or a redneck or whatever, is that that's a really philosophical stuff. Like, why waste time doubting anything? Why bother? It doesn't help. You know what I mean? I mean,
to an extent.
What do you mean?
Well, if you mean by, it depends on what your definition of doubt is. Like,
I'm
if you
saying
want to be
that
cautious,
if I think I can fly, I can fly. Mm-hmm. Why bother doubt? Why not just open this window and jump?
Yeah, you're proving
that's
my point. That's what I like about you. Is that you never change trains, but somehow you're going a different direction.
Well, no, clearly there's limitations of gravity. I'm not saying.
It's the Gen X in me the only part of Gen X that I accept.
You can't let people be happy. You have to be cynical.
I can't
burst my bubble.
I can't accept glib statements as fact. Like, feel like.
Well, your father just dropped some nice knowledge.
It was very thoughtful, and it sounds like the right thing you needed to hear at the right time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't even about me. It was about him.
In terms of, like, you know, something, a life statement that you can staple on your T-shirt and say, this is what I live by. I think it's because we grow up with so many advertisements and catchy slogans and, like, you know, you got to get yours and just do it and, you know, all this stuff.
That's what
like,
I'm going to do. I'm going to just do it. I'm not going to doubt myself.
This is my point.
I don't understand about how that's a slogan.
Go on.
How is that not a slogan? To just do it. Just stop living your life in limitations and just do it. You know what I mean? Get away. Sometimes you just got to get away. You know what I mean? That's what you have to do. Enjoy life, you know, because life is great. I'm loving it. I'm loving my life right now.
It's really impressive.
In a TiVo world for me to pull that many catchphrases,
I'm really
pretty awesome.
I mean, I'm loving it. Is that still still their phrase?
I'm loving it.
When I get copy for McDonald's commercials, that's
Your way right away, Kevin. That's what I'm saying life is.
Jack in the Box.
You know what I mean? If you want six-piece hand-breaded chicken strips.
Six-piece hand bread. Oh, okay.
I was trying to rattle through all the fast food, and Carl's Jr. was next, and the only thing I knew that they said was that they had
don't bother me, I'm eating.
That's a good one. Yeah, I didn't think of that. I just thought of the reason.
They still say that.
We hand bread chicken strips.
Remember when
I like that that's a thing.
Chicken?
We make food. Come to our place where we make food.
It may not be any good. We watched at your house for New Year's a couple weeks ago, we watched the ball drop, which was terribly boring. And
Now, I'm curious. You didn't like Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin? You didn't like that?
I find it fascinating from a media literacy point of view.
Yeah.
And from a personal, like having hosted things before in live improv, I found that riveting to watch her. I don't know what her game is, really trying to...
Her game is to be the opposite of, in my opinion, is to be the... Everybody else has... Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
They're all bubbly and it's over the top cheesy, right? I mean, it's like...
But all that's fine.
How much sunshine do we have to blow up Dick Clark's bunghole?
Oh, I don't mind that. I don't mind her being, you know, ragging on the Spider-Man. It was terrible. You know, why is Spider-Man there? All that I think is fine. But she was intentionally trying to rip the show apart.
Yes.
Like, she was trying, like, from the seams. Instead of making the show about being negative, you know, being the yang to...
She's trying to be the antithesis to what's out there. What's out there is organized, pre-planned, pre-scripted, generic, and she's trying to say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a train wreck. I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to do my... And I think
I'm
that's
I'm
going
to strip down to my bra and panties in my 68-year-old body.
Because nobody else is doing that.
Mm.
Nobody else is doing that. And I'm standing next to Anderson Cooper, the epitome of straight guy in the comedic world. He can't play anything else because he's Anderson Cooper and he likes it. It's funny, and that's what you see the juxtaposition of those two ideas. What I thought was, like, even she even said in a moment of something people were waving at them, she goes, look, an organic moment. And that's when I'm like, okay, I'm right. That's what you are trying to say. You're trying
to say that
it's much more interesting to watch personalities. Like, it would be much more interesting to watch Ryan Seacrest be Ryan Seacrest.
Was her
Jenny
show
McCarthy. Like, the most interesting thing that Jenny McCarthy did was kiss that cop.
Yeah, if we know that. I have a feeling that was an actor.
So what? It's still interesting because that's something I believe. Rather than her just smiling and going,
Jenny McCarthy
right?
was on the other one, right? That was on. Yeah, yeah. And that was all hideous. And if that, maybe you're right. I'll give her the credit and give her the latitude.
I think that's what she's trying to say. She's trying to make the point that, because I think what's going to happen if it keeps happening, and with the idea of reality TV, that they're going to start pulling viewers from the other ones, because everybody's like, they're going to be doing like this. Did you see what Kathy Griffith did on CNN? That's the other part, is that I think is so hilarious, is that she's on CNN doing this wacky, crazy stuff that would be expected to be seen on VH1 or something.
MTV. Yeah. I was shocked to see it there. I didn't hate it. I guess I just didn't really understand it. I felt like she was trying to push things, and I felt like she was trying to ruin the show, and I didn't understand why she was trying to ruin
the show. She was poking
the
bear. That's what I think.
And I'm game. But I did enjoy seeing the musical acts that Dick Clark has put on over the past 40 years. I did not care to see Dick Clark, the puppet, up there again.
It's so bad.
I just don't understand why. He was old. It was embarrassing 5 years ago. Now it's just a joke.
Here we go. I'm going to talk about me again. But
We
had this situation come up at Great America where I have to have told you a story where I was hosting this show where it was like an interactive show, and there was here's the thing. I know
interactive
that a long time
a
ago.
Light. I mean, there was audience participation.
I know we've talked about it a long time ago, so I'm not going to overly defend my opinions in any way, shape, or form, but. There's a mentally handicapped hospital that was near the park, right?
Yeah.
So they would frequent the park. Like, it was a park for them. They all had season passes, and it was a thing, and they would come. And so this TA, theater attendant, that came by and said, oh, I got this couple that we're going to have them do this bit at the end of the show because they want to participate. And I said, absolutely not.
Because you knew them already, yeah.
And then she goes, and she tried to throw it in my face, and she was like, she goes, you know, I happen to think of them as being handy capable. That's what she actually said. And I said, I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about what it's going to, A, do to the other people watching the show that are going to take this moment that is intended to be comedic.
Yep.
That's the idea of it, and how uncomfortable they're going to look when we're forcing them into a situation at laughing at people who are mentally handicapped.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
That's what you're not thinking of.
Yep.
And then she started crying because she said I yelled at her and everything like that. And I'm like, no, I'm right. You know what I mean?
Drama.
And that's the thing that I think that is missing, is that I get it. I get you've been doing it for years. I get that you're the mainstay. I get that you're the guy. But that, like what you said, he almost needs to be like Jerry Jones. See him up in the press box. See him up there with his family. Get some Mick Jagger comes by, who whoever he got gave a break to back in the day on Bandstand.
Yep.
We like, hey guys, it's Dick Clark up there. He's still doing it. You know what I mean? Let him push a button to bring the ball down.
But we should.
He can't talk anymore. That's not fair to him. It's not fair to see, other people watching.
And to see poor Ryan Seacrest, because I get the impression that they're buddies off camera. Like I get the feeling that Ryan Seacrest really looks up to Dick Clark. He's a radio personality. No doubt that he respects him.
He has to be a hero.
Exactly. But for you can even see it and hear it in his voice when he said, thanks to Dick Clark, America's eternal teenager. Like, he couldn't even force the lie out of his mouth. He realized, because that used to be his thing, that he was like, no matter how old he was, he was into the hip crowd. And that might have been true in the 90s.
Well, here's the thing. I still think it is true. I think other than the fact that, and that's what I think is unfortunate about it, the man had a stroke. He can't really talk, right? That doesn't mean that he can't, like, he does have that ability, whether it's managed or whatever, he still is the guy who's like, even though I'm in my 50s, I know what kids like.
Yeah.
I know what they're, I can listen to something and go, kids are going to love this. You know what I mean? I have that ear for that. So just don't put him on live television. We don't need that anymore. You know what I mean?
So that was
Let him write a blog.
The only thing that was worse than all this was the movie New Year's Eve, which my wife drugged me to a few days after the film, after the event. And it was, it was the day before we watched it. It was so freaking bad. The there's like 100 celebrities in it. Even background extras are other celebrities in the film. But I have never, I do not remember ever seeing a film that was so poorly constructed, let alone how they get the drama up or how they raise the stakes is out of control, ridiculous. I mentioned to you before that the ball was built like a Christmas tree, and so if one bulb goes out, the whole thing goes out.
Everything's in series. We talked. Yeah, those are jokes.
Like it's still 1945 when that kind of thing happened. They're LED, but Ashton Kutcher gets stuck in an elevator for 8 hours. Nobody helps them. Nobody talks to them.
It's even New York.
Exactly.
They're
nobody
busy
cares.
County
in New York,
in New York
in an apartment. Jim Belushi lets them out of the elevator, and it takes him 8 hours to fix it.
That scared me because I thought he was the one that was dead.
No, that's John Belushi.
Yeah. I was like, how did he do that?
Very similar.
Is it like Forrest Gump?
The future is now. But the thing that's so bad is that the girl in the elevator has a duet with this guy on the other side of the town doing the musical number for everybody in Times Square, and she's singing the same song, but they're like clearly harmonizing and doing the whole song together.
Through her phone?
No, she's just in the elevator, happens to sing it exactly at the same moment as this other guy that she's supposed to be a backup singer for. It is so, so very bad. I swear, there is nothing I read in college written by a never-written-before screenwriter college student that wasn't better than this film. The only thing it lacked was the budget behind it to get it done. I mean, it was so terrible. So don't even get it on Blu-ray.
Oh, I was going to say, I think you've kind of done that thing where now I really want to see
it. You really need to see it, yeah.
Yeah,
probably.
If you go into a movie thinking, oh, this is horrible.
It's so bad.
Then it's enjoyable.
It's so bad.
That's what sucks about them is that they get to walk away making money.
I don't know. I guess this one has a little. Some people have told me, oh, this movie's really bad. And then I sit down to watch it with a group of friends. They're like, this is going to be great. And, you know, it's 2.5 hours long. And after an hour of it being bad, I'm like, no, it's just bad. It's not. It's not being fun to make fun of how bad it is. It's just a bad movie. You may be able to power through because of all the celebrities that are in it. I mean, there's just celebrities constantly.
Yeah, but who really cares about that part?
I think a lot of people.
Really?
I think that's a big selling point, that it has so many different
stars. I get the idea. Like,
and it's like collect them all.
Like Larry Crown. Yeah. Larry Crown, because it is Julie Roberts and Tom Hanks, I get that aspect. Like, I'm going to go see it. But just because, like, it's not like they had, it wasn't the Expendables.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like they had a bunch of B-list people.
These are A-list stars that are in this film. John Lithgow.
John Lithgow's not A-list.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's B.
In your book.
In my book, yeah.
Come on. John Lithgow was definitely an A-list star.
He's on he did a season of premium television. A-list is Tom Cruise.
He did 5 seasons.
Julia Roberts, Tom Hanks,
okay.
George Clooney, Brad Pitt. These are people that have not done television in over
15 years.
None of those people are in it. But yeah. You did just mention Ocean's 11.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That is a, that's an A-list. Like, that's the thing to me that about New Year's Eve, that it's like you got Zac Efron, Seth Meyers is in it. Michelle Lee from...
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer, but she's irrelevant now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's A-minus.
Exactly. You, when one of your ingenues is a chick from a television show, like, that's not A-list. You know what I mean? Nothing against... Like, I don't agree with the industry.
Well, the B-list stars get F-minuses in Kevin's grades.
And that's
to
the
film.
Other part about it that I think is so funny, that when people sign up to do these things, like it's always interesting that they don't understand that people don't really go, oh, this is a horrible, like, for the most part, people don't look at it and go, oh, this is a horribly written and or directed movie. They look at the movie and go, you guys made a horrible movie.
Dustin Hoffman's in it, so he's A-list. You can't argue there.
No, he's about to do an HBO series.
That doesn't make him bad.
No, it doesn't make him bad. It makes him not A-list anymore.
You think?
Uh-huh.
No, not Dustin Hoffman. He can't slide.
Mm-hmm.
No, he grandfathered in for life.
All right.
Academy Award winner.
A A-list star in this celebrity-laden... You know what I'm saying?
One of the grips was, I knew. There's another A-list.
Did you really know a grip?
No, I didn't.
You know what's great about being us and me being married to my wife?
What's that?
Every time a movie comes on with Omar Benson Miller, who you may recognize from CSI Miami as the large black man, she goes, isn't that Omar? Like,
every time.
He trying to think, like Steve Buscemi. Is the only one who has a more specific look than Omar does.
Oh,
you know
and
what I mean?
She knows him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when she's met him.
Right.
And it's like, hey, isn't that guy? Like, you know.
This episode has nothing to do with video games.
I'm sorry.
How can you make it about video games?
How can I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we were to play the video game version of New Year's Eve, the movie.
Okay, go on.
Okay. I think that that's a fun video game. First of all, you're going to have to find the bulb and or the fuse for the ball. That's a mission and a level in its own right. You know what I mean? There's going to be some kind of like Rock Band-esque, you know, music note hitting for the girl in the elevator and the guy who's singing the actual concert. You know, you got that. What else? What other things do we have to do?
I fell asleep last night thinking about Gremlins 2. The new batch, Here They Grow Again. Because the video game...
God bless you, late 80s, for all of your puns.
Well, that movie
Here
is
they
quite
grow
brilliant.
Again.
If you... like, if you sit down and watch it now, you will see that the director was doing something very specific to parody sequels. And not only the genre of, you know, the 80s horror movie, but also...
I'm trying to remember that movie now.
Specifically sequels. It's very, very intentional the way it pokes fun at the structure of the first movie. And then it just so happens that everything happens again in a more, you know, bigger... It's like making fun of... Hangover Part 2 20 years before it's ever made.
Yeah.
But it's all about little gremlins and stuff. It's the one where the gremlins, the guy who owns the Mogwai, his house gets destroyed, and so he runs and somehow finds the kid that had him before. He works in a corporate office, and something happens in the middle of the night, and the place gets on lockdown, and the gremlins start showing up. And so there's like a television studio in there, and there's a geneticist in there, and then some of the gremlins eat genetic material. And
they get big.
They become different. There's spider gremlin.
Yeah.
There's fruit gremlin. There's girl gremlin. There's a bunch of different characters. Then there's
New
York
Minute. Doesn't
Gizmo
multiply himself and then has like a little army?
No, but that'd be amazing. No, but then there's New York Minute gremlin, who my brother and I quote all the time. We'd say, this is when he's transforming. I wanna talk a little bit of what's going on in this room, because I think there are some very interesting ramifications for the future. My brother and I would memorize that so we could say it to each other all the time. Love that movie.
They call that New York Minute, is when
he was
Bumblebee in Transformers.
Yo, he went from, because they're all like rude, disgusting little things, and then he becomes this super articulate New York speaking. His
glasses.
I thought
New York Minute meant that you kept doing all the different catchphrases, like a radio spinning through the.
No,
dance. I thought that's what that character.
New York Minute is just fast. Okay, so Michelle Pfeiffer, Zac Efron, Charlotte Marshall Fricker, Fiona Chow, Mary Keane, Michael Mandel.
You get the name.
Patrick Reel. Robert De Niro.
Really not A-list.
Who did I say?
You said Dustin Hoffman.
It was Robert De Niro.
Memorable.
Halle Berry?
No.
Okay.
Were her boobs in it?
No, her face.
Yeah, see?
Carrie
Ells. Her boobs are A-list.
Alyssa Milano, who I thought was some other chick. Common.
You're not very good at this game.
Barbara Marshall.
How
Jessica
could you be
Biel.
A-list when your name is Common?
Seth Meyers.
He's funny, but...
Yeah, all B-list. Yeah. Except for Robert De Niro.
Jessica Biel is hot. She's A-list hot. And she has a baby. Why would you take a hot chick and make her have a baby in this movie? Isn't that what I heard you say?
No, she doesn't have a baby in this
movie. I thought
She's the one stuck in the elevator.
Oh, she's singing?
It's terrible.
Does she sing well?
Oh, no, that's not Jessica Biel. Sorry. She's hot. She wears this outfit that makes her look like she's shiny and naked.
Yeah!
Never mind, I'm tuning in.
Make sure you check it out.
And then I'm going to watch it.
Did you see the Gremlins movie? Did you like Gremlins 2?
I don't remember it. Again? I saw it probably when it came out and haven't touched it since. See, I'm not like that. I was just thinking when we were joking about on New Year's Eve how I want to go back and watch the Cannonball Run movies. You know what I mean? Like, I don't watch movies again.
How many of those were there?
1774?
Yeah, like the reason why I was thinking about the Gremlins and why it related is because they had one of the earlier film-to-video game adaptations. Specifically, Gremlins 2 did. And they had... The levels were scenes in the film. And you played as Mogwai. You played as Gizmo. Mm-hmm. And you went around and you had a dart gun, which I don't believe he had in the movie at all. And you
That's why I thought
puzzles.
I remember him like almost kind of mohawking his hair up, or there was like another gremlin that had a mohawk.
No, he did. He gets like Rambo. He watches Rambo, and then he gets Rambo on it.
That's
but he doesn't... That's it. Like, it's sort of like the cute little guy wants to stand up against all the bad gremlins. But I need to go back and watch that first one because I can't imagine it'd be very good. Like, the thing, they eat the chicken. Remember, saw like stop motion animation? So the gremlins are eating the chicken. There's all these tight close ups on these animatronic puppet things tearing the meat off the chicken and everything. I remember being as a kid and being like, This is unsettling. And then they grow into these green cocoon things that look like mucus and snot in the middle of the room. 80s were weird, man. They were weird.
It's a good time, man.
It's good times.
It's a good time. Let's talk about your Kindle Fire. What happened?
Segway. It was a segue.
I don't
really
segue very well.
It was great. It killed me.
You want to go back and do it again?
No. Yeah. How can you make that segue smoother?
Kindle Fire.
Even more perfect.
Kindle Fire.
So we got an
Kindle
Amazon
Fire.
Gift card. Oh, that's
there
good.
You go.
That's classic.
There it is.
That's
classic
episode,
cat.
That's episode 401.
Classic fart joke cat.
We're in season 4. This is episode 402. This year we're going to hit episode 420.
Yeah.
You should be high that whole episode.
I can't.
You should do it the whole time.
No way. That I can't.
For episode 430, can
that
we watch
DuckTales? Bad News Bears. For anybody who hasn't tried it, honest to God, that is Bad News
Bears.
What
are we talking about? What stuff?
Pot.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It'll zap your desire to do anything but play video games.
Oh, no. No. At least not for... It just makes it impossible to live. Like, it's like, I can't... I'm like, this is... I can't function. It's horrible.
You regret everything?
Oh, yeah. I do.
The Kindle Fire. So we got an Amazon gift card from an aunt of mine, and it was addressed to both of us. And so I secretly, without telling my wife, went out and purchased her.
Until she hears it on this.
Oh, she knows now.
Oh.
I went out and got...
Oh, I thought you were going to say that I just gave it to her as if it was me.
No. No, she didn't know that I was going to do this with the card. I went out and got some prepaid cards for Star Wars Online. Yeah.
Lucky her.
Also,
won't have to entertain me.
Exactly.
For also, 7 days until I burn out.
No, I'm so tired of the game. But I also got a PSP headset. So, PS3 headset. Then I also got her this thing. Actually, it was really good because I came home after work and I was in kind of a grumpy mood. And then I didn't give it to her right away because I got it mailed to work. And then we're sitting there making dinner and we eat dinner and we sit and talk for the longest time. And then I go into the other room for a minute. I come back out and she's like, "Oh, you can't come out here right now. I'm working on a surprise for you." And I was like, "Oh, you got a surprise."
It's another fart.
Yeah, exactly. This is incredible. And she had made, she was planning to make maple bacon cupcakes. So she was grilling bacon, which I ended up making because she's terrible at making bacon. So
like,
she made
hold on.
Some,
I got to stop because we've been married for a little over a year.
Yeah.
And you said we talked for the longest time.
for having a surprise ready.
I see. Okay.
We sat and talked for an hour.
Okay, I'm so
had
glad.
Dinner.
Because I was like, really?
No. I mean, I didn't walk in
she
the door.
She would not shut up.
So the whole point is that she didn't see this coming. So I make her this bacon and stuff. And I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be great. I'm so excited for my surprise. And she was upset because I wasn't thrilled that they're going to be gluten-free cupcakes. I'm like, oh, that's going to be great. No. I'm so excited. They're going to be. In fact, you know what? I got you a surprise. And she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, no. Go sit on the couch and close your eyes and open up your hand. She's like, okay. She's doing it just like. Humor me. See what I pull out of my ass to make this even. So she sits down, and I'm going through my bag and making it sound like I'm trying to find something in my bag. And I put the Kindle Touch on her hands, and she opens up her hands, and she literally, like a dog that finally learned how to speak English, was like, what is this thing in my hand?
Wait, they can learn English?
Well, if you register your Kindle online, anything's possible.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you not own a Kindle?
No.
You should get one.
I don't even own an iPad.
And a dog. No. So they, you know, you when you buy it, you can buy a Kindle registered to your Amazon account before it even shows up. Right. Did you know this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't understand. Oh, I see what you're saying is that the part that's amazing is that you don't have to add a username and password.
Nothing. Like I just say it's
you.
Mine and it'll show up and it's ready. But so right. It didn't. And before she opened
I guess
like,
to me, because in a world where you used to buy preloaded software on your laptop back in the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
this is like oh, everything. Sense. Like it would just come in and then it's perfect for grandma.
It would have
right?
your books already on it.
If you want. Yeah, you could be ordering books and then the moment you turn it on, it starts downloading them. Yeah, you're getting them there. But the thing is incredible. Have you used much with the electronic ink?
No, I don't know. I don't have a Kindle.
You've never seen electronic ink? So your laptop screen, my iPad, the PSP, any of that stuff has got this illuminance screen. Uh-huh. So it requires the light inside of it, backlights it, and that's how we're able to see it. Works great in low light or no light. Works terrible.
I see what you're saying. So in the Kindle, like if you're by the pool, what it like does, it almost does like that old school LED, like... Like I'm thinking of like a handheld poker game type technology.
No, it's even better. That's the thing. It doesn't require light. There's no it's like an etch-a-sketch is probably the best way to put it. It just projects the electronic ink onto the screen and it sits there and it'll stay there. It won't. It doesn't
until you shake it.
Yeah, really, really hard. But the stuff is beautiful, and it's all in black and white, of course. And the more light you put on it, the more it looks like paper. And it just it is mind-blowing how perfect.
You said the more light. I just imagine. Get the desk lamp. Get it over,
get
here.
Over here.
Give me a flashlight.
Shine it up to the sun.
Grab the sun.
Grab the sun.
Bring it to me.
put the lighter on the thing. Put it on the thing. No, and it's funny, like that commercial for the iPad for the Kindle when they're both sitting by the pool and he can't read his iPad and it costs $500 and she's sitting there reading her Kindle without a prom at all. I'm like, well, you can't play Angry Birds on your Kindle, so shut up.
Suck on that.
But electronic ink is incredible, and I heard a report on it a number of years ago that it's a cousin of carbon nanotube technology. Have I mentioned this several
very
times
familiar.
On the show?
I'm yeah. very familiar with this. I did my summer thesis on this.
Well, tell me about it.
Huh?
Go on.
Well, it was
carbon
a long time
nanotube
ago.
Technology.
What it is, well, at least it was in my day.
Man, you're channeling my father at this moment.
Sean O'Connor.
Son of a bitch. Make me snarf that stuff out of my nose. My father
invented carbon nanotechnology.
Used to tell us that he knew more about things like Sean O'Connor when he was
Sean Connery
when he was a kid. I can't even do it right. When he was a kid, he was known as Sean O'Connor. That was his original non-stage name. My dad wanted to be very smart.
He is.
He's a very smart man.
Carnivore tubular technology.
Yeah, VoIP stands for.
What it is it's a. It was originally intended to help you eat meat. That's why they gave it the name.
Man, sometimes it's poking the bear with you is awesome. I just like to, you're like a jukebox of ideas. I just put a quarter in you, see what comes out.
And I'm trying to explain carnivore tube technology, Kevin. What the hell happened? Hold on. Are we listening to an ad for an iPad?
Well, iPad.
Breaking news to culture.
Oh, breaking news.
Original articles, images, videos, and graphics. Look, apps like this are the reason you get an iPad. Get it on the App Store today.
Boo. Okay.
All right. Wait, we're going to get an iPad in an App Store?
I don't know. Why did we just...
Carnivore tubular technology abolishes any kind of ads. That's one of the big resistors that they had to
actually,
this.
It's the opposite of the truth. It'll probably make ads more prevalent.
Maybe we're talking about two different things. Maybe yours is a different dialect of meat eating.
Maybe. I need some of your water.
Why? Yes. Why are you choking? I thought that chimpanzee on that cup was smoking.
He's not?
No.
Oh, it looks like he is.
Speaking of which, we saw some chimpanzees almost getting a fight at the zoo.
Oh, really?
And it was crazy. Two things. Crazy to watch people watch that. Like, they were running from different parts of, like, there was a moment where, like, you just hear one chimp just screaming, and I'm like, I gotta get away from this.
Yeah,
like,
I don't want to see,
I don't know what my kids to see one chimp accidentally dismember another one. You
know
what I mean?
They can
but
get...
people, like, it's so funny how Roman, like, gladiator-esque we are.
I think it's a desire to see something real. You know, everything's so sensitive.
That's why Kathy Griffiths is so great.
You know, I really did think she was going to take off her top in
she
those
did.
Moments.
Oh.
No, I mean, like...
No, she has before. That's why they had that sign. I think, I could be speculating, but I could have sworn that I saw her on an interview where they made a comment about how she flashed her boobs or something like that.
Chewing all Janet Jackson.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, kind of. Like, and not completely,
listen,
I think.
I paid for that much work for my body to look that good,
right?
I'd want to
show
it
off. That's what she says. Like, but anyway, carnivore tubular technology is for people who cannot digest meat. Now, they're working on a gluten version of this for your lovely bride.
I hope so.
Or at least they were when I was involved in the lab. But I got out of the lab and got into the comedy lab, and since then I've kind of been disconnected.
Listen, scientists.
And if there's anything that anybody knows about carnivore tubular technology is that it's not all about surfing like it was back in my day. It used to be the thing that smart surfers did. Like, that's what we did. We're like, you know, we ride the waves, and then we come and ride the carnivore technology. It's tubular, dude.
The carbon nanotube technology is a micro...
It's
a microfiber.
Oh, that's embarrassing. I was talking about something entirely different.
That will...
I have no idea about this thing.
allow for electronic ink to be printed on any material, on a like piece of paper or whatever.
Like a tattoo.
Yeah, or a tattoo. Yeah, I have talked about this, right? Because that's what I want to see it become. Well, what it'll allow to do is a piece of paper to be in binary, turn pixels on and off. So you could use a piece of paper as a screen and be able to do, like, check boxes and whatever. They think that Starbucks cups will be, instead of just a logo, will be printed with an ad, like a commercial.
It'll be a billboard moving,
exactly,
like Times Square.
All over and over and over. But it'll just be sitting there on a piece of paper. And then instead of spending all this money on screens, you'll just print out a piece of paper, thumbtack it to your wall. Your computer will be able to connect with the nanotube technology and connect with it. And that'll be your monitor. Will just be a piece of paper. And, of course, the technology will get to a place where the piece of paper is all you need. You know, you have a piece of paper, you can do all your homework right on it, do your email, crumble it up and throw it away when it runs out of ink and runs out of charge and just gets old and ugly. I know, it blows your mind.
Where do they get these trees, though, to make this paper?
Well, it's a microfiber, so it's like a nano machine, like a really tiny electronic machine that knows
right, but
to
what
turn
I'm
itself
saying
on
is,
and off.
What trees in the rainforest have billboards and stuff just running? Like, where can I send an email to a tree?
It's on Pluto. They harvest these from the moons.
Oh, that's
of Pluto.
Where it comes from?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Also, there's a dragon in my story. Anything to make it more entertaining.
That's what I would have gone. My
hope is that they will eventually make this tattoo material, like that you can inject that ink into your skin and then be able to every day just be like, what do I want my tattoo to be today? And that will be the image on your arm. Change it again.
Cat purring?
It's coming. Well, always. Why would you want anything but a cat purry? Would it be sweet, though, you just get a little tattoo on your wrist and you can sit on the bus and just watch TV?
Yeah. I was thinking that satellite. Initially you won't be able to watch TV. Initially you're just going to get it. It's going to be a rebirth of the Tamagotchi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's going to live on your arms.
And then like 5 years later you'll be like, damn it, why did I get the Tamagotchi tattoo? Yeah. Why didn't
Still
I get
trying
the cable?
To feed this thing?
Why did I spend $600 on this? Well, then carbon nanotube technology also will allow for micro tethering fibers so that... They said that in order to move space travel into the next generation, the biggest hurdle that they have to get over
warp drive.
Well, close to
hyperspace.
That, getting out of the
teleporting
Earth's atmosphere.
Obesity.
So it requires a lot of gas to get.
Yeah. Gas louder.
Why do I try? Why do I participate in this? I should just let it happen to me. What I should do is just call in, talk on the voicemail, and then you can just pause it and say whatever you want.
I wish you could have seen Kevin's face when I started laughing. You had a moment of fear, like what happened, and then you got it and you started laughing. I snorted.
It's like a dog that finally rolls over and submits. That's all you're witnessing right now. is my tail drooping. Oh, fine.
I'm sorry.
Fine.
I'm sorry.
Just pee on me. I submit.
Is that what you think I want?
No, but I think that's what you, like a dog, you don't know you're going for it. You've instinctively pinned me to the ground.
I just have a destiny. And that's what I'm, oh, this is the next step? Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I'll just let it happen to me. So the issue is trying to get the rocket off of the Earth, like to break Earth's atmosphere. Once you get into the atmosphere, it's very easy to move things around. So what they want to do is...
because there's no resistance.
Exactly. So they want to get a tether up into the outer atmosphere so that you don't have to burn all that fuel to break the Earth's gravity. And this carbon nanotube technology would allow that to happen. It'd be a lightweight tether that would essentially be dangling into the outer stratosphere. And due to
you
the
could just ride along it.
Exactly. It'd just be an elevator. They would take you
so
up.
So not like a tether. Because I was thinking tetherball, and they would like sling you.
Kind of, but they say the word tether, but it'd be an elevator essentially. But it can't be solid, you know, because that would be impossible. It has to be something lightweight, flexible, and can move. And once it's out,
and if something hits it in space, it just kind of bends.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it all, and then it would hang in the atmosphere because of the centripetal force.
You know what I love? You could drop all this mad knowledge about carbo nanotube technology and centripetal force stumps that's you the, like you have a stroke.
That's
like,
the one.
It's like explaining quantum theory and then going, and then I had a glass of mayo.
It's pronounced. That's the one I wanted.
That's what your brain is.
All right, now talk about something you want to talk about.
What do I want to talk about? I want to talk about the adventure that I had in the desert.
Oh.
I ran through the desert in search of an ancient artifact that had come from the future in a world called Antarctica. Now, first of all, this place was named Antarctica, which seems like it's ironic because there's already an Antarctica here. But this is an Antarctica that is based on a different world entirely in a different plane of time. Now, we were tethered to that time via a key fob from an old car from the 1990s, which costs about $250 to reprogram, I just learned from my Toyota dealership from the new minivan I purchased.
We're actually telling a real story now.
And then we got to the desert. And that's all it was. Like, you felt like when we were on the plane, it was really exciting. We thought things were going to happen, but we just kind of got there and we just... hung out. We played a little pinochle. And then one of my buddies was like, hey, I got some dominoes. But then he was like, dominoes? Holy crap, we got to stop these things from falling all over the place like a real domino. So we're going around trying to sit like somebody. We forgot where we were. To be honest, it seemed very sad. Very like, we're just like, wait a minute, because we thought that there were like big landmarks that had been dropped around and were falling on top of each other, and we're like, holy crap, that's where we are. And so we ran and we're keeping landmarks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa was leaning even more. It's gonna fall on top of the Eiffel Tower, which would then knock over the Statue of Liberty if it only wasn't for us five guys who were gonna stop it. So we couldn't think of anything, and I started talking about this thing that I remember you mentioning at one point, and we kind of just stopped around the table. And we were like, wait, where did this table come from? I'm like, that's irrelevant. We have to save these landmarks. They're literally falling right behind us. And then this other guy was like, wait, if they're falling right behind us, why are we sitting here talking about... And then there's a lot of lib-lab-yabba-dabba-dabba, you know, we're going back and forth, you know, but we don't really know anything about that. That's more slice of life, and that's not what this story is about. Uh-huh. This story is about saving the landmarks that are being teleported into the desert.
Oh.
And that's what we have to do, all right? So it was at that point that somebody mentioned Slurpees, and we were like, oh, God, get over it. You're going to get a brain freeze if you're in the desert. You can't drink a Slurpee if you're in the middle of a desert and not get a brain freeze, because it's just a matter of, you know, basic math. I mean, not even math. I think it's more of like a physics of temperature and everything like that. Boom, Statue of Liberty falls
right? Now, right on top of us is the Eiffel Tower, right? It's coming right down on top of the table, everything. Dominoes, doesn't matter. Pinochle, everything is about to go everywhere. We have no idea. He's completely still talking about Slurpees. And we're like, get over the Slurpee thing. It's still falling. It's still coming. An inordinate amount of time that it took for this Eiffel Tower to fall on top of us. Like, we were just, at one point, we just kind of like, is this really happening? It seems like a long time, right? Like, seriously? You know what I mean? And then, out of nowhere, it just falls a little bit slower. Like, wait a minute. Like, we could have talked about Slurpees at this point. We could have had that time still saved. We've already lost two landmarks. I mean, Statue of Liberty's gone. Lady Tower Pizza, gone. You know what I mean? So it's really, the Eiffel Tower is what we have. The Sphinx, nobody really wanted to save that to begin with. So we're like, Eiffel Tower, that's the place. Yeah. We're going to bring it to America, make it a cool thing. Maybe we put it where, you know, Statue of Liberty was. It's a French thing anyway. There's that French connection, but not in the car chase movie thing. But like a real connection, like, you know, like that kind of thing. And then it just stopped. It just sat there, and it floated in the middle of the air, in the middle of the desert. And we just sat there, and we stared at it, trying to figure out, like, how does this even happen? And then all of a sudden, the guy, he's like, now can we get a Slurpee? I'm like, dude. And then this other guy was like, man, will you let go of Slurpee? Don't you want to understand how the law of gravity, and then it started falling again. It started falling again at that point. But it was still pretty, not quite as slow as it was falling, but a little bit faster. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, and then it's coming down, you know, still on top of us. And you kind of see the elevator was going up, and we're like, maybe somebody's in that elevator. And then we all just
woke up.
Yeah, at the same time.
I pulled my finger away. He kept talking. That's 5 points over to the blue team.
Yay. Pick a number, pick a color.
Well, that was well done.
That's what
well
I wanted to talk
that
about.
That was really good.
I don't know what you had.
Well, once my friends and I were under the oppressive tyranny of evil men.
Oh, no.
Terrible, dark men.
Oh, no.
With disgusting desires to take over our village.
Oh.
So me and my buddies, Crago and Karzon, each put on a different weapon. A musket. A knife. A torch.
Oh, no.
And we marched down the long path to victory!
Oh, you guys won!
That was it.
Wow.
The end.
Much more exciting.
Your song was from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Which was funny that you chose Antarctica. Mine was from John Williams' Greatest Hits.
That's a little bit harder.
Oh, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
That's what yours is? Oh, John Williams. I was like, for some reason, I thought John Williams meant John Philip Sousa. I was like, yeah, that's a little harder to just do some.
He's a B-rate star.
Right? Now you're getting it. Now you're getting the list.
We were watching, this is going to be quite a stretch. You know, you just had on Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the guy that does all the music for Toy Story?
Randy Newman.
He did.
You got a friend in me.
Yeah, he did a little movie called Parenthood back in the 80s. He did the theme song
love
for that.
Love to see you smile.
Yeah. And I was like, this is Randy Newman. He was so funny at the Academy Awards last year when he won.
I missed it.
He said, because he's been nominated so many times for Parenthood and all the Toy Story, all the Pixar movies, his songs always get nominated, and he's always there, and he finally won, and he was flabbergasted and a little angst-ridden. He's like, okay, yeah, it's great, great. I didn't actually think this day would ever come. I mean, I've been here so often. It's been like 20 years at this point at the Oscar nominee party. They have the Randy Newman chicken. And I was like, wow, way to be the gracious for winning an award. but we were going to talk about this, is that movie Toy Story is a hack. I don't know if you know this,
no,
but it's totally based on a Muppet movie called The Christmas Toy.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw Toy Story in whatever, 1992, I was like, isn't this the same movie as that Muppet movie I saw when I was a kid? And you can get them on Netflix. That, you know, if you saw on Netflix instant streaming, they had mm-hmm. a bunch of like holiday movies, Miracle on 34th Street. And in the queue, along with Emmett Otter's Jugman Christmas, a holiday favorite by the Muppets, was The Christmas Toy. And it's a story where this character named Rugby, who is this tiger character, is the most beloved toy in the toy room. And discovers that Christmas means that a new toy will come and replace him as the Christmas toy. and he has all these issues with that. Of like, so he goes down to the living room and wants to jump in the box to replace to be the new toy.
Himself, yeah.
And then he discovers that the new toy is already in there, and it's this action figure character. I mean, who thinks that she is the action figure that she is born to look like.
It's a female action figure?
Yeah, and they try to convince her that she's not. I mean, it's like, close to the story plot. Meanwhile, there's a Barbie character in her Barbie dollhouse. She's these funny bits about, like, oh, I'll help you on the rescue mission. I just have to pick out my outfit. She's like, oh, maybe this, and she has a camouflage, or maybe this, and it's like a sniper outfit. And she's like, what do I wear? And then there's this little cat toy that's like the sidekick for the thing. But the thing that makes it super dark, and the Muppets, they really know what they're doing. The action figure character's name is Meteora. She's like the queen of the nine galaxies or something. And they get her to get back into the box once they realize that it's a bad idea to open it by singing her a song about how lovely you are. You are so lovely, Meteora. The Muppets really are pretty funny with their tongue in cheek. Like, they have this beautiful love song about this woman that can crush worlds with her single hand and stuff. It's pretty funny.
I'm excited to see the new one. You saw it, right? The new Muppet movie.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic.
Is it?
So, but the thing that's so dark about what I thought was funny about Toy Story and how they didn't do the same thing is that if a toy is caught out of its position, the last place that it was seen, it dies. That's the premise in Christmas Toy, or in the Christmas Toy, is that so its soul leaves the body of the toy. And if your toy is out moving around the hall,
and then you catch it moving,
he'll stop
even
moving. The moment you make eye contact with it, it'll fall dead on the ground, and it just kills it.
Does it even know?
They know it's coming. They're terrified of it, and they're afraid to be found out of spot. And some of the toys die, within the film. Like, they get caught out of bed and they die, and then they figure out a way to bring them back to life because it's a Christmas story.
Wouldn't it be cool to just say a line from a song and know exactly which song it came from?
No.
Who are you and what are you doing on our show?
We have to stop having co-hosts.
This is a private line. Yeah, so the technology that they used in this Toy Story, our Christmas Toy, was pretty fantastic. For the 80s or any day, the toy room is hardwood floors, and so they do all these great above aerial shots of the toy room and all the toys moving around. And then when they want to get down low, they clearly just moved tiles out of the floor and then operated the puppets from within the ground.
Like a side shot.
It's pretty cool. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I will Netflix that. Netflix the hell out of that.
See if you can sit through it. And definitely see the Muppet movie. How can you not see the Muppet movie?
Well, Natalie was supposed to go with Jacob this weekend, but it didn't obviously happen. So, whatevs.
See if anybody's in the chat room.
The chat room? What's the chat room?
Did you say we could just go onto Skype and see if anybody was there?
Oh.
Just do a random pop-in.
I like this idea. I almost wish we would have paused it before we said that. Because it's going to be a kind of a bummer if it doesn't happen.
No, it's all right.
Let's see.
This will be good, and then it'll force people to always be ready for us.
Nope.
No one on?
Nope. Well, yeah, no. They're not. They were all there yesterday. I was talking to my grandfather.
We're about 4 hours too late. That's okay. Yeah. So you're looking up gaming news? Do we have some?
Yeah. I think, well, we have about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So I was just looking to see what was going on. You know, I know we've been I thought was weird is that it is interesting. You've been playing Star Wars, and I've got this new game of Saints Row. But it's weird that the holiday, and maybe it's just for you and I. That's what I was curious about. Is that the holiday seems to be such a pro gaming time.
Love it.
You know what I mean?
Even
for the industry.
You, as a father of two young boys.
Right. So it seems to be like you would think that there's just a flurry of activity, but for me I felt like there wasn't a lot out there going on for me. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Does that make sense? Like, I felt like I've already been through all the games that I really, really wanted to play in 2011.
Yeah.
So now it's like I have to wait till the spring before any games. Like, I'm really looking forward to Mass Effect 3. But I was, because like my big games this year were Assassin's Creed, that's already done, Uncharted, and then Saints Row kind of snuck up on me.
You wanted to get in on that.
Yeah.
I wanted Skyrim for Christmas, and thank God nobody got it for me, because if I was playing, although it might have been good, because if I would have played Skyrim and Star Wars over the break, then at least I could have spent some time on the console, spent some time on Star Wars. But the truth is, if I spent Let's just say on an average day I was spending 5 hours of time playing Star Wars, which, as we know from my previous podcasts, that
you're
is
an overachiever.
That's the average time, and most people are playing the villains. That I would have, if I had spent 5 hours playing Star Wars, I probably would have also spent 5 hours playing Skyrim, and then I would have done absolutely nothing, including feeding myself. But between those two games.
Here's an interesting article. It says, researchers say that video games won't make you smarter. Those action-packed video games under many Christmas trees on Sunday morning may be loads of fun, but don't expect them to improve kids' grades, concentration, driving skills, or other cognitive abilities, one group of psychologists say. Some researchers also say they found video games such as current top seller Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 won't damage players' brains or cause them to do real violence. That's what I was going to say. I really hope that that's the next point, is that if you say it's not going to make you smarter, it should also not make you dumber or, like, it can't have
more violent.
Like, Adam Carolla was talking about this on his podcast recently, where he says that if there is music, like, they've done studies that say that Mozart music is supposedly makes a baby right. smarter, then there has to be music then that makes you dumber.
Absolutely.
And he says it's ranchero music.
I was going to say it's High School Musical 3.
Those relatively recent findings conflict with other studies on both the positive and negative potential of gaming, but one thing experts on all sides tend to agree about is that the debate and the research is far from over. Play these games because they are fun and you enjoy doing them, and let's kind of wait for more research to suggest whether or not they are actually good for us, said Florida State University psychologist Walter Boot. Boot and two colleagues say they've turned up flaws in various studies ascribing cognitive benefits to playing video games, and that they've been unable to replicate the results. Boot, Florida State doctoral student Daniel Blakely, and University of Illinois researcher Daniel Simmons wrote about their findings in a paper published in the journal Frontiers in Psychology 3 months ago. It happens to be a rather direct attack about our work, University of Rochester researcher Daphne Bovlet wrote in an email Thursday from France, where she is on sabbatical. So I guess they seem to be in some kind of a catfight about whose research is actually valid. Well, this is what I thought was interesting, too, is that that article is right below the benefits of video games. That's what
I see. They're responding. Got it.
No. It's just a separate article. It's the benefits of video games. Video games won't make you smarter. And this is an opinion by Scott Steinberg from ABC News. In addition to understanding the many real concerns that today's parents have with video games, it's also worth considering the benefits and positive aspects that contemporary interactive entertainment choices provide. Certainly, many popular titles today are M-rated and intended for discerning adults, given the average age of today's gaming audience. But the vast majority of games can be played by a broad range of ages and still manage to be fun and engaging without resorting to foul language or violence. Games can definitely be good for the family, says ESRB's Patricia Vance. There's plenty of selection. Oftentimes, I think parents feel that they're not because video games in the media are portrayed as violent, and hardcore games tend to get the lion's share of publicity. But parents also need to be comforted knowing that E for Everyone is by far the largest category of software.
Absolutely.
Nearly 60% of almost 1,700 ratings we assigned last year were for E for Everyone, which means there's a huge selection of games available that are appropriate for all ages. In fact, most video games do have quite a few redeeming qualities, even those with violent content. All games can and do have benefits for players, and in a number of different and sometimes surprising ways. Now, I was curious, do you think that is a media thing, or you think it's a real thing? Is that, yes, there might be more E for Everyone games, but I think it's the same thing as, like, why Eddie Murphy makes family movies. I think it's that there's more money to be made there. Parents want to spend money not on Grand Theft Auto, not on Saints Row, not on Call of Duty, but they want to find a game that's E for Everyone, so they're going to get a Wii Sports or some kind of bland type thing like that.
No, I do think that the E for Everyone brand is just that it is for everyone. And the more hardcore games do create a niche market, you know, it makes it less appealing. Because I think you get a hardcore gamer that is only into Modern Warfare, and you put down Mario Galaxy in front of them, they may not eat the hell out of it. They may not eat it up or play the hell out of it.
No, I like eat the hell out of it.
But they'll play it. And
that's what you do in World of Warcraft. You eat the hell out of it.
Yeah, I'll eat that. Oh, so good. I'm orcs. You'll play it, right? You know, if you're a hardcore gamer, you'll be like, oh, you'll give it a chance. And I think that's true. I think of tons of examples where somebody's like, oh, yeah, I prefer to play a heavy game like Gears of War or Uncharted or any of those. But then those folks are just as likely to know about Kirby or Link, but it doesn't go the other way around. You know what I'm saying? So I disagree.
It says that there are educational benefits for students. A recent study from the Education Development Center in the U.S. Congress-supported Ready to Learn initiative found that a curriculum that involved digital media, such as video games, could improve early literacy skills when coupled with strong parental and teacher involvement. Interestingly, the study focused on young children and 4- and 5-year-olds who participated showed increases in letter recognition, sounds association with letters, and understanding basic concepts about stories and print. Surprise, adults can learn something and benefit from video games too. As mentioned earlier, research underway by the Office of Naval Research indicates that video games can help adults process information much faster and improve their fundamental abilities to reason and solve problems in novel contexts. In fact, results from the ONR study show that video game players perform 10% to 20% higher in terms of perceptual and cognitive ability than non-gamers. It's interesting.
Hmm. That's where I would sign on it. I think that it's clear that a video game allows you to experience something the way that film or comics or even reading a textbook doesn't allow you to. And it's different, granted, than any other medium that has been out before. It takes a different kind of mind, but you know, like these massive multiplayer online role-playing games like Star Wars, where you're forced to do something for so long, there is something to be said about spending that time, because it's an emotional energy and there becomes an attachment to it. And I firmly believe that if that material was, instead of just mindlessly grinding, killing warthogs in a forest to get points, but if it were to learn Spanish. Like, if all the language in the game, if every warthog I killed was a different Spanish character, and after killing, like, I couldn't move on until I understood the entire Spanish alphabet, I guarantee I would learn Spanish through playing that game. I can tell you all sorts of things in Klingon. I can tell you strategies for StarCraft. I have all sorts of nonsense about the Star Wars universe. Your 3-year-old son knows more about comic books than most people that listen to this show.
It's true.
He can't even read. He can identify. He pulled out some character I couldn't even believe he knew who it was, and he told me all about him and what his powers were. It was like War Machine, which he calls Black Iron Man.
We are racist in this household.
He called it Evil Iron Man.
Evil Iron Man, yeah.
But,
I didn't want to correct you because it was funny.
It's the same thing, though. Hey-o! Couldn't let that one go. But I Kat and I talk about it all the time of like, we watch your son absorb so much information. It's information that I find entertaining, so I don't sit judging your 3-year-old for SpongeBob interesting. But I think, what would happen if he were exposed to another language, if he were exposed to mechanics, if he were exposed to mathematics, would he be able to geek out about that in much the same way?
I think you have to. They have to have. This is what my opinion that I've learned from this one child, and I think it'll be locked in with my second kid as he becomes more, I don't know, cognitive, to try
sentient.
To sound uppity, but that he they have a genetic predisposition to interests in some way, shape, or form. So like,
go on.
Jacob's interests are musical. That's what he's very interested in, the musicality of, like, my dad bought him a harmonica, and that's like, he just busts that out and starts playing it. Every time he plays with his figures, there's a soundtrack. Every time. He doesn't do anything with
it's
anything.
It's not dialogue.
It's not dialogue. Well, he'll have dialogue, but he'll be like, we got to go get... And then most of it's like... And it could be... And it's funny, too, because he'll do the horns sound, but it'll be jingle bells. Like, because he just... Whatever song is in his head, but he has to have a soundtrack to what's going on. Now, when he was young, he was interested in tools. Like, there's that common thing that boys are interested in tools and cars, but as he gets older, it starts to become like he's interested and the musicality of things. Like,
and what's your plan then?
What do you mean?
Well, are you going to try to foster those musical interests?
Well, I don't think you have to. Like, I don't think you have to push. I think you just have to create opportunities. That's, so, in the like, my
100% more than what my family did.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, Like, I often wonder and look back at my life that if in school it was honestly a thing where you would sit down with a 6-year-old kid and say, "What do you like to do?" If that teacher would have sat down with me and said, "You drew a stand-up comedian before you drew a scientist," you know that could be a job. You can honestly, you could make a job being funny. Then imagine where I could be comedically, and imagine where the world could be comedically if that was even considered an option. You know what I mean? Yeah.
If anything, to identify the skills that were necessary to get you to a place where you're a comedian, because comedian could, like, you could think that you wanted to be a stand-up comedian, but a good teacher would know the field that that's associated within. Mm-hmm. Much like, you know, there, when you're a child, there's really only like 8 jobs in the world, right? Like doctor, fireman, policeman, businessman, mother, comedian. Like, we don't, you don't really get the full picture. And then you grow up and nobody is those things, and they're all like system analysts, and I work for the government, I handle pipeline distribution. I don't even know what that means. But if she had looked at you and said, "Oh, you're interested in stand-up comedian," well, that means public speaking. That's mm-hmm. that's something I would get you interested in. That means English, that means writing, because comedians write their own material. I'd want you to start, I'm like, "Well, read these 2 books and write me a report on them, make it funny." You know, that kind of, and working on those sort of world skills that translate more to just your interest. But and then it would have given, it would make it more academic in flavor, but still would have been interesting.
See, I think what they should do, because I think that that's going to feel like a trick to me if, as a kid, that you're trying to trick me into doing something that I don't need to do. Mm. But I think that if you, instead of it being a thing, how to say it? I think that if you make, these are the expectations, yep. you have to learn about all the things that you just said, right? You have to learn math. You have to do this. Yeah. But here's what I'm going to do. When you do this and you exceed at it, I'm going to give you an opportunity to find out more about what you're interested in. You know what yeah. I mean? And let you explore that and help you. Like, in the same way that I will teach you the basic concepts and models of arithmetic, I will also spend some time, even though it's an area I know nothing about, going to a library, or I'll find yeah. some books for you. You know what I mean? Something to where it's on that level. Because I do think that people have... Because here's the other thing. I thought about it recently is that... I've always loved to fix things, even when I was a little kid. And that is something that I know and believe is genetically passed on yeah. from my father to me.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with nurture. It yeah. has nothing to do with that. And my, I used to think that it was, well, that's all he knew. But now I realized recently, because I watch like Mike Holmes' show, and I look at it and I say, I go, man, I really think, and it's nothing against my dad. He was a kid when he had me, and he was a great dad. But I think that had my father understood the concept of teaching
yeah.
and not just be like, watch me do this and figure it out, otherwise you're an idiot, and get angry all the time, yeah. that made me feel afraid to work with him, there's a strong chance I probably would have been some sort of contractor, yeah. a general contractor. Because what I like about that, I was talking to Natalie, is that what's appealing about doing that to me is that it's more of a science with a touch of creativity, whereas what I do now is all based on perception. Mm-hmm. Everything, in my opinion, everything about my career and what I do is said, how many people can I get to like what I do
yeah.
without it being about getting people to like what I do?
Right, right. Who are willing to give dispendable cash.
Exactly.
to
exactly.
you. Yeah,
and
yeah.
then there are people who make a living judging me
yeah.
who, in a lot of ways, don't really have any, you know, form of, I don't know, what's the word I'm thinking of? That they, no form of credibility, but... I don't know.
Standardization.
No, they
populist vote.
They don't have a way of really. They shouldn't be, like, for instance, this thing that I just did recently. I auditioned for this thing where they were looking for, you know, parents in comedy, and then I'm auditioning for 3 people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you guys have kids, and I'm doing my material, but it's only 3 people, so I just talked to them. And they're like, no, we don't have kids. And in my head, I'm like, who better to judge comedians
yeah.
who are doing material about people with kids
I see.
Than people who don't have kids?
Right, right.
How do you can't relate to anything that I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
authority.
Exactly.
That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah, they have no authority in what they're doing, but they're given the authority
right.
kind of thing. And so that's frustrating on my end.
The one thing that I
don't know how I got on this, but
anyway. No, it's great. And if we were to open up a school, it would be something we should talk about legitimately. But the one thing that I would caution.
Okay, bye.
is that, you know, you see a kid that's like, I want to be a stand-up comedian, or me, I wanted to be a comic book artist, or the kid sitting next to me, I want to be a rock and roll star, or I want to be a quarterback for the Niners, you know, that kind of thing. And there is a little bit of like, no matter how much I nurture you, no matter how much I give you the opportunities to explore these things, the truth is you're not going to be a quarterback for the Niners. You're not going to be a rock and roll star.
Right, but that shouldn't be someone else's decision. You know what I mean?
Totally.
If I, because here's what I think.
What my point was, though, is that to give.
No, I know what you mean. Not everybody could be Tom Cruise.
Right, and you got to give the kid the. You can't build their entire yes. expectations and their academic curriculum around a dream that is not going to happen.
Right, but what I'm saying isn't to blow sunshine up their ass.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is to just give them the opportunity
right.
to expose themselves to it, like. Like somebody, here's what, like an example. Somebody gave me the opportunity when I was 16 years old to do stand-up comedy in a cafe, right? Mm-hmm. And it went horrible.
Yeah, I remember. I forgot about that. That's funny.
It was awful. Unbelievably awful to the point where I was
cut
like...
Cut to 8 minutes from now. It was mind-blowingly pathetic.
So bad. Unbearable. did I say awful? And
first...
For me, that didn't stop me,
yeah.
obviously. You know what I mean? Now, what may stop me is that now I like, if I honestly look at myself and I'll go, okay, I have two kids, I have a wife, and I'm very happy with that situation. I like what I do here at the apartment building. If it meant that I had to stop doing stand-up, and like, I've already had those moments where I've told myself, I should quit. I should get out of here. Yeah. But I still haven't quit. In the beginning, it was a lot of my wife pushing. Now my wife doesn't push. She's like, well, if you want to quit, you want to quit. And then for whatever reason, that takes it to a level for me where I'm like, no, I need to. Like when it came to the point where it's like, oh, no, you really do have to quit.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was bummed. I was like, oh, no. Like,
yeah.
I think I was actually doing something. Yeah. And then it's like, so I'm like, okay, on some level, I really do enjoy doing this. So it's like, no matter what happens, this is going to be a part of who I am. You know what I mean? Even if I can't afford to keep doing stand-up comedy, I'm going to do these podcasts. Because somewhere there's going to be 700 or 1,000 yeah. or 200 people that are going to think I'm funny, and that's what I need.
Yeah.
That's my hobby, if anything, right? So I think that you
are... Or 2 million. Or 20
exactly,
million.
If that's what... that's what I think you're saying. What you're saying is that... There isn't always going to be yeah. an Axl Rose in every class.
Yeah.
There isn't always going to be a Jimi Hendrix in every class.
Exactly.
But there is going to be the guy who plays guitar for Jeff Dunham in every class. You see what I'm saying?
Maybe.
There's a guy who can learn guitar well enough to teach kids to play guitar, and they will find themselves because there is a natural order to things. There is a natural that I think that on a lot of ways, I think it's unfair that I do think they happen, but I think in the entertainment industry or any industry that it's unfair to say people get a lucky break.
Mm.
I think that happens. Yes. Do people get discovered on YouTube? Yes, that happens. Right. But most of the time, 90% of the people or even more, it's because that's like they had a dream, they had an idea, and they focused and they went at it until it happened for them.
Yeah,
and I think
I'd
that
agree.
a lot of the filter, not all, but because I do think that there's, you know, out of 100 people, I'd say maybe 15 of them are those hardworking, focused, but maybe they're focused in the wrong direction, or maybe you just got no talent. But I do definitely think that that's a huge minority. I think that the majority of people in entertainment are more people who are like, are waiting for it to happen to them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because that's the way they think the industry works. They think that, well, I'm going to keep, you know, spinning my wheels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep doing this. And then eventually it'll happen to me because that's what I'm owed.
Yeah, I think that's, I think once again, we're about to come from to the same point from two different angles. Because what I see so often are people that are expecting that they will achieve success. And they will shirk natural life responsibilities like paying rent and being a responsible human being to their friends and family because they feel this entitlement of, I should graduate into stardom. I went from second grade to third grade. I went from high school to college. I moved to L.A., and I should then be on commercials, TV,
and there's
movies.
Also those stories, like Tom Hanks lived in his car for the first 3 months.
And we're not all Tom Hanks, and that's what I feel, is that we far too often think of ourselves as all Tom Hanks, mm-hmm. And we're not. Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks. And then we get upset and get frustrated with the universe in heavy, massive quotes because it's not giving us the things that we thought we deserved to get. And then, quite frankly, you go on a murderous rampage and you go all psychotic and blow up everybody in your cubicle because you feel like at 45.
I like in your example, that's everyone. That's,
yeah. Well,
it's inevitable that we're going to go postal.
It's just going to happen.
If you don't become Tom Hanks, you're going to start killing folks.
Exactly. Well, it can happen if you have this entitlement towards success.
Yeah.
That when it doesn't happen, that's what in all the cases of the guys that do go postal, that's often the cause. They're like, they were a dude that had been working hard. He was a normal guy, had a wife and kids, but he'd been in the same, you know, glass ceiling job for 20 years. And
played a lot of Call of Duty.
Exactly. And suddenly he couldn't stand living in his mom's garage with his kids.
Yeah, and was like, I'm tired of killing fake terrorists. I'm going to kill real Americans.
They're all gone.
Clearly a very thick, easy, drawn, solid line to connect those two.
I think it's obvious. Yeah. If you do something in your imagination, it's going to happen.
You
got to
make it real. Yeah. That's everybody's desire.
Because we're all robots. And I can only do what I'm programmed to see.
So I think the point is that what I think both of us are trying to say is that, because I know that we do have a kind of a younger audience, yeah. And that I guess what I'm trying to, without getting on a soapbox, I don't want that to be the case. That's not what this show is. But I do think that if you have something that you want to do, that you should pursue it.
Yes. And here, this is my soapbox, is that, you know, that commercial, All Hail Michael or All Thanks to Michael and everything, that's what video games do to me. That's what they do to everybody who plays them, is it makes you feel like you're the center of the universe. Games are built to where it feels like you're impacting things on a grand super scale. And I think it touches us in a very emotional way. I think it's a power educational tool. I do not think we shouldn't use it. I believe that we should play games. I love them. I'm not saying no, but you got to remember that that's not reality, and that you just because you can do all that stuff, that you're the center of your video game universe, you still have to be a contributing member of society, and you're not going to just get to achieve your dreams and your goals like in a video game. Just because you keep playing, you win. It doesn't happen that way in the real world.
Yeah,
that's what I want to say.
Okay. I don't disagree. I don't know that, maybe it's because from my standpoint, I've never felt that. I've never felt like I was the center of the universe.
You're very unique.
You know what I mean? And that, like, even when I was playing a game, I mean, I came close when I joked on the show, I think it was a while ago, I joked about L.A. Noire kind of, for a while I was entertaining the fantasy of being a cop or whatever. And I was like, so this kind of satiates this idea of, oh, I'd be a pretty good detective. And you said something like, in a world where it's built for you to solve the case.
Yeah, in order
like,
for you to
that's succeed. A solid point. That's a solid,
you
solid
can't
point.
Fail.
Now I can't live in this fantasy anymore. Because I'm like, no matter what, I'm going to win.
But
no matter.
You are always the exception that proves the rule.
Am I? I don't think
always.
So. But I guess, because here's, I find it hard to sit here and think that anybody who's listening to the show or anything, that if you have something you want to do, that there's no reason why you can't do it. I agree that you have an obligation. You know what I mean? I think that you should be courteous, and there's nothing wrong with being nice and responsible. But to me, I always feel like, well, that's a given. I know that you have had examples in your life where it's, and I think probably I have too, where people are like, this is what I got to do. It doesn't matter how it affects you. It's about me and what I need. I guess maybe that's what you're really saying as long as you're not completely shirking everybody else in the world to just because stop talking, Justin.
No, it's deep. This is the deepest episode we've had all year. Come on, best joke ever. Woo! What are we gonna call this episode?
Deep, deep. Das
that
Boot.
Was great.
I forgot to do this last week. We usually close the show with this, our old song.
Yeah, what did we close?
Starring Iron Man.
That's why it felt
Black
weird.
Iron Man.
We need new intros. It's a new season.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I like Sam. I'm not against Sam, but if you...
Sam was supposed to make us something new. Did
he
get around to it?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I asked him to harmonize with like a chorus of Sam's, remember?
Okay.
He said he was going to do it, but...
Poor guy can't have a vacation.
He's had like a half a year.
All right, give us a call.
I do love this song, though.
408-228-4911 or send us an email to show at secondfunniespodcast.com. Don't forget to go to secondfunniespodcast.com. Click on every banner. Just go there and click it and see where it takes you.
Suddenly, 12 windows are playing all of our episodes at the once.
I know what you're thinking. You're like, Justin, I'm 10 years old. There's nothing I could do to help contribute money to your show. Yes. Go to mom and dad's purse or wallet.
Yeah.
Grab a credit card. Mm-hmm. Get on the internet and go through, buy some jewelry for mom. You know what I mean? Some stuff for mom and dad on their dime, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Buy them stuff that they're going to love, like Modern Warfare 3.
Exactly. That also is an option.
And jewelry, I mean a Bluetooth for your PS3.
And I would suggest Modern Warfare 3 if you think that there's a high likelihood your parents will send you to military camp because it's some good training.
It's
good. So
especially if
push
it's the Spanish language version.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be the best. I don't even know what that means. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.